Is this thing on? One, two, mic check, one, two. All right.
Man, this is our city. This is our city, man. We did it, man. It's unbelievable.
We've seen the story before.
We've seen the story before.
Hello, Athletic NBA Show listeners. I'm Dave DeFore. I wanted to share some exciting news with you. The NBA Daily Ding is moving permanently to the Athletic NBA Show feed. That's right. Monday through Friday, you're going to be able to catch up on all of the previous night's action in the time it takes to make coffee. Fancy coffee. So join me, Andrew Schleck, Trevon Edwards, Keith Parrish, Jared Weiss, our special guests, and your favorite Athletic beat writers as we break down the previous night's action and all of the news from the day before. Your friends are going to think you're a basketball genius. Be sure to tell them why, though. Make sure you check us out Monday through Friday right here on the Athletic NBA Show for the NBA Daily Ding.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Bing bong!
I do have a take.
Point of contention.
I also like to apologize for burning down our house when I was 7 years old. I don't remember ever apologizing for that, but...
And we're back! Welcome to Point of Contention, 5 subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. I'm Zach Harper, that's Jay Boyd producing. Coming up on the show, Russell Westbrook's comedy special, Doubles, Player Empowerment Insurance, Ja Morant on fire, and way too early reactions, or shall I say overreactions? That's a question. In this corner... From the hard streets of Springfield, Mass.
Long Meadow, man. How many
Same
times
thing.
Do I have to tell
Celtics
you?
Beat reporter and future author of the book, I Burned the House Down, The Real Truth About Paul Pierce. It's Jay the Kid King. Jay, did I see you on camera when Knicks fans were celebrating their OT win over the Celtics last week? Bing bong. Jay, play the tape.
I hope so.
Double fucking overtime. What the fuck, baby? New York is fucking back!
Knicks are here, baby! The Knicks are fucking here, baby!
Fresh out the garden, baby! We're taking it all the way!
We had DeBlasio, we had Cuomo, it was rough shit, but we have the Knicks! Touch New York! Knicks run New York City!
Bing bong!
Tell me a little something, KD! Don't you regret not coming to the Knicks? Don't you regret not coming to the Knicks?
Let's go, Knicks! I
need those. Those Knicks fans were fantastic. That was one of the best reactions ever. And that environment was nuts. They've been waiting a long time for the Knicks to be good again.
The best part of that is just randomly, a minute in, guys just start shitting on Tom Brady.
And you know what? Tom Brady's a fucking bitch. Yeah. Fuck Tom Brady, yo. Fuck Tom Brady.
Where the bread at, Tom Brady? I need some bread, nigga. He owe me.
Fuck Boston.
Because it's the only fan base that can say, like, Tom Brady ain't shit to us. Like, they just start throwing him under the bus, and it's hilarious.
There's no fan base that can say that. It was,
really? Because I'm pretty sure. Tough 2 days.
Pretty sure Eli Manning 2-0.
Yeah. Eli Manning of all quarterbacks, the most mediocre quarterback of all time, 2-0 in the Super Bowl.
That does hurt that Eli.
Yeah, man.
Eli got those, man.
Almost
that 2007
else.
One, that was a dark day for me, because I went to college in upstate New York. And so everyone was Giants fans, and they were like parading outside, and I was just devastated. Yeah. I wanted to fight every single person there.
The Massachusetts, the Springfield Mass.
They weren't really
out of
Giants
you.
Fans,
all
though, right.
right?
They were Buffalo Bills
fans. No, they're
fans
just Jets fans
over.
Pretending.
Yeah.
And in this corner, Bay Area legend, author of 2 books about the Warriors, and a brand new book on sale. Now, I saw you getting ready to say, hey, what about this third book? The brand new book on sale now, Dynasties, the 10 GOAT teams that changed the NBA forever. It's the one and only Marcus T. Nasty Thompson.
That's what I was about to say. Don't do it, Zach.
Marcus,
don't
last, do it. Last episode of Squid Game or Space Jam 2?
Space Jam 2.
Get out of here.
I can at least watch that
garbage ass movie.
I can at least with the kids. No, man, that's a good 2.5 hours of occupying the youth. Where I could do whatever I want. There's no unseeing the terrible end of Squid Game. Like, you just stuck with it, and you can't even pawn it off on the kids.
It's not a terrible ending.
You gotta have the same color as his hair.
What are you talking about?
It's a terrible ending.
No, it's not.
It's just the whole
show. Get out of here. What are you trying to recruit? You trying to recruit LeBron to San Francisco?
No,
what are you doing here?
Space Jam 2 was awful. Let's just put that out there. But my kids can enjoy that, like, because it's cartoony or whatever. I said my kids, like, I got five of them. I got one 14-year-old daughter. I'm trying to act like I'm out here with a nursery, right? Like, but Squid Game devolved into, like, a complete mess of a disaster. It is the
end. Up season it two. It's so good, man. It's perfect.
Did you guys see the response from the Squid Game creator to LeBron? Yeah. And that was great.
He was fantastic. Like,
That's great. LeBron can go ahead, create his own show, and then I'll tell him, I hate the ending, but I like the rest.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so good. Man. LeBron's in the wrong on this one. LeBron's
that ending was terrible. LeBron was completely right, bro. But I still like the
response. You can't like that ending. There's no way you can like that. This is cynical.
What was with the hair? Why the hair?
Who cares? Why the hell?
No, we care.
What is it?
No. Why? The whole show, the whole premise of the show was this dude trying to keep his daughter, and then he gets all the money in the world, and he's like, "All right, you little hoe, I'm out." Like, no, what are you talking about? You don't leave your daughter.
He needs to right the wrongs. Well, he's got to travel to the U.S. every time he wants to see his daughter now? No. It's over.
Man, dude, he got everything he wanted, and
he got bigger fish to fry.
I got no respect for a dude who walked away from his daughter.
It almost seems like, money doesn't solve everything. What a great, insightful message. Man, you're getting upset though right now. You're putting the nasty in T-Nasty. Jade, start the clock. Take one, go home and watch a comedy. After stumbling out of the gate, dropping their first two games, Russell Westbrook led the Lakers over the Spurs 125-121 in overtime. Heading into his third game as a Laker, Russ was shooting 34% from the field, including 1 of 11 from 3 and 41% from the free-throw line. Good Lord. In this one, Russ finished with 33 points, 10 boards, and 8 assists, a game in which LeBron James lost his own Squid Game with a sore ankle. Anthony Davis also had a big night, 35 points, 17 rebounds, and one scary injury that was not scary because they ran a lob play for him literally the next play after he got back up. Many are wondering about this experiment that has not gone particularly well until Tuesday night. Following their season debut loss to the Warriors, LeBron told Westbrook to go home, watch a comedy, or be with his children. Something that will make him smile and keep the loss in perspective.
He didn't say Squid Game.
I just don't want him to be so hard on himself.
He didn't say go watch Squid Game. That's what he did say.
So I got to watch Space Jam 2 instead of Squid Game. Yes, sell me on marriage and kids a little bit more, guys. It's very early in the season. A long way to go, Marcus. But what comedy did Russ go home and watch? And how do you think the rest of the season goes with Russ, among others, in the mix?
I mean, I think it's very clear that the Lakers need to trade LeBron now, right? Like, this is what has been set up from the beginning.
1-0 without him.
1-0 without him. This is what it is. Yeah. What comedy did he watch? I'm going with Insecure. He went and watched.
Not with his kids.
Who, Russ?
You can't watch that with your kids.
Late night comedy. Come on.
Well, Squid Game's a late night show. What are you talking about?
Exactly. Can't watch. He went to watch Insecure, and Issa helped him, like, get rid of all the trying to please people and just be the person you are.
Because he realized there are more insufferable things than
absolutely. And he was like, you know what? I was trying to be somebody, but you know what? I'm just going to be me. I'm going to put my head down, go to the rim every time I can. I'm going to exaggerate drives and set up assists. Right, you know what I'm saying? Go hard one way, knowing my guys on the left. So, like, this is Russ, right? Head down. Whatever, we're not running plays. This is Russ. This is where he's at his best, and that's what he did. Shout out to Issa Rae for making it happen.
Yeah, just a quick note. Issa Rae and Insecure are dangerously in the new girl territory of the main character being completely insufferable and everyone else around being the part of the show that you like.
But everybody just else is you know. Incredible, though.
Everybody else is incredible, yeah, exactly. Is but incredible. The main character is completely insufferable. All right, Jay, what do you think about Westbrook comedies and what the Lakers do now?
He watched Billy Madison, man, because the first time he went through high school, it was like a piece of cake for him. He thought he was the man. And then he goes back and he's with the Lakers and he has to actually learn stuff. Everyone's looking at him like an outfit.
What a real outcast. Answer I was just given. Unbelievable. And then, what a real answer, Marcus.
It's going to take him a while to figure it out. He's got to learn all about chlorophyll, stuff like that, things he never learned before in the past, how to cut, how to play defense, how to do all that. Russ, this is going to be – it's going to take a long time for them to figure it out. And to make things worse, their supporting cast is bad, man. It's bad. They started Kent Bazemore and DeAndre Jordan on opening night. They got Austin Reeves playing 20 minutes a game now all of a sudden. Austin Reeves, guys.
He is not the Alex Caruso you're looking for, guys. Just FYI. He's
they were
not.
Hoping, though. You got to go for it.
They're hoping. They're hoping.
Like, I'm pretty sure Malik Monk is their fourth best player.
And Billy Madison, didn't he go back to elementary school?
Yeah. Russ has to learn it all over again.
Man, you putting them back in elementary school, that's cold-blooded, man. Ouch.
Well, I mean, that's first thing's not very good, and they're very young. Yeah, that's fine. I get it.
The solution is bad. Austin Reeves, guys.
The solution is fine. This is the solution. This is it right here. This is the solution.
Wait, LeBron doesn't play?
Yes, he's got to take... Look, they're going to end up, what? In the middle of the pack anyway.
Like, no, man. LeBron hinges
on LeBron being healthy in the postseason. That's what matters. And he LeBron has an
all-time scoring record to go get. He can't take games off.
And he also has to delay this thing until Bronny gets to the league. So he might as well preserve himself.
Is Bronny going to get to the league, or do we have a LiAngelo Ball situation?
Bronny's getting to the league.
We sure?
Come on,
Bronny. Zaire had to go to the G League just because of his dad had to get there.
I'm just saying.
Look, like, Bronny might be that good. I'm just saying it would help if he was 5 inches taller like his dad. That's what it would really help.
It would definitely help. Yeah. I just feel like
I'd be more convinced.
This only validated like the reason to get Russ. LeBron took the day off. Russ was able to do his thing. And now perhaps they need to do more staggering. I mean, you obviously can't ask Russell Westbrook to come off the bench, but you can cut their time together and give Russ like a secondary unit to run. And he's running that show. So instead of getting 30 minutes of them two together, cut it down and just stagger them.
It's a thin line too, because you also have to get Russ and LeBron to learn how to play with each other.
Especially figure that out. Yeah.
Think how long it took, even in Miami, where he and Wade ended up being great for each other. Like that first year, it was just awkward. It was extremely awkward that they both had to figure a lot of things out. Russ has never been a guy who's had the best habits on a basketball court. And now playing with Davis and LeBron, like, I'm not sure those guys are going to make the game easier for each other. They're just going to kind of take away, at first at least, what each other does best. And so, like, Russ has to learn to be off ball. Russ has to learn to locked in on D, because they're not going to have lockdown defenders in their supporting cast either. Like, when they played the Warriors on opening night, it's like, who's guarding Steph? Kent Bazemore? Yeah. Like, have fun. Good luck, guys.
They've got like three or four guys from last year's team back, right? Of a top defensive unit, but now they're trying to get all those guys on the same page defensively, and it's looked bad so far. It's looked really bad.
And the Davis thing was just a reminder that he's always like a couple inches from a few weeks out. It was almost like
that's the message he wanted to send, right?
Like he went down. It was like,
hey,
you know what?
Hold on, y'all. Just so y'all know, I'm running this. Like, I could any moment.
Russ is having a game, but you hold your breath when I fall down. Like, that's what a great message. See, that's the real Squid Game right there. All right, take two. The Bulls are back, baby. Shout out to Trey Kirby. Dateline, October 27, 2021. Uh-oh. Chicago Bulls All-Star Zach LaVine underwent an MRI on Tuesday, which revealed a left thumb injury that he plans to play through, according to sources. The injury is in his non-shooting hand and had been bothering him entering the Bulls' win against the Raptors on Monday night. The team decided to get his thumb checked out after the game, but the injury is not expected to get worse if LaVine continues to play. LaVine has been tearing it up for the Bulls, who are off to their first 4-0 start since the 96-97 season. LaVine averaging 25.5 points per game, shooting 50 from the field, 44 from three. Bulls face another interesting team later tonight. The old New York Knicks. Bing bong, Jade play the day.
Bing bong.
Welcome to the Caruso Show. Woo, nice crossover.
Bing bong.
Jay. Are you finally a believer in this Bulls team, or do you continue to hate?
It's somewhere in between. So
what?
They have beaten nobody.
Sense.
They have beaten nobody so far. They have played the Pistons twice, the Pelicans, and somebody else. I don't even know. They're just coasting Toronto, through mediocre or worse competition.
By the way, Toronto's really good. Toronto's really good defensively, but they have 5 of their 9 rotation guys shooting under 40% so far this season. Like, they cannot hit a shot.
And
they
Siakam didn't play either, whatsoever. Right? Siakam
no, he's still out.
He's still out. So the Bulls, like, you're not going to prove yourself to me while playing that type of competition. That said, you can watch them and see how it could work. Like, Lonzo and Caruso are both athletic and play D. And then Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan are super, super freaks. And when they put those guys around Vucevic, like, I know they have a lot of guys with bad defensive reputations, but you can see where athletically they're so long and have so much mobility that this could be a much better defensive team than I thought. You're not going to prove to me that you can fit well and defend well when you're playing against the Pistons without Cade Cunningham. But I will admit I am much higher on the Bulls now.
I don't know what we're doing with this Pistons team. I am much higher on
the Bulls now than I was four games ago.
So, Marcus, are you buying the Bulls or the Knicks if you can only buy one of
Bulls,
these hot starts?
I already told y'all this, and you mocked me when I said it last time. Like,
we did mock
him. Yeah, you mocked me, and I told you this.
Is this a victory lap 4 games into the season?
Can you have a victory lap when half your wins came against Killian Hayes? I don't think that that's how that works.
I mean, to be fair, they also came against Jeremy Grant, but, you know. That's pretty big.
He didn't play one of those, right?
I don't think that made it better or worse for you.
I don't think it did either. No, look, they're about to go through a gauntlet, right? Like, we're about to find out what they're about. And the Knicks is probably the worst team that they're about to play this next stretch, right? Which is pretty good. It tells you how good the stretch is. So we're about to find out. But the pieces are there. And the part that makes it look like so believable is you got guys who never play defense trying on defense. Now, for Vucevic, trying doesn't really help, but for LaVine, it does, right?
It's all right. At least he's shooting 39% from the field.
That's going to pick up. That's going to pick up. You watch. Patrick Williams is struggling.
You try to score efficiently against the Pistons.
It's tough, man, out here in these streets. Yo,
Isaiah Stewart's a problem, man. Defensively, that's a lockdown dude. But I like him.
Kelly Olynyk is tough to score on.
They can score from the perimeter, and they can defend on the perimeter. And that is a good regular season formula. That's a great regular season formula. But
so they're about to neither have a are you buying the Knicks? What are you talking like?
I'm buying the Knicks. The Knicks. Last year, their problem, obviously, was offense. They couldn't score. They're top 5 in offense right now. They're scoring the ball. And more impressive to me, their defense hasn't really taken a step back. I know where they are in the rankings, but their defensive rating would be number 1 in the league if they'd had it over the full season last year.
I gotta stop you, Jay. We're not doing rankings of offense and defense a week and a half into the season.
That's just a number. I test those dudes are still defending with Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier in the lineup. Fine.
They have 2 wins against the Magic and the turmoil 76ers. How does it not still apply to them? The same look at the schedule bit. They lost to the Magic.
The 76ers are not the Pelicans or Pistons.
Yeah, but they went into the Magic Kingdom and won by like 30. You know, that doesn't just happen unless you have an NBA team.
I'm just saying, like, us three with Jade and one more, we could probably be Philly right now. They're in so much turmoil.
If Jason Tatum wasn't trying to like recreate every Kobe highlight at the end of that first game, they might be 2-2 right now.
That was a tough shot. But no, I've been impressed that their defense still looks very good, even with Kemba and Fournier in there. Because I thought for sure their defense was going to take a huge step back. Yeah. And I think they've looked very competitive on that end.
Yeah, especially against Orlando Magic, who we know is just a...
But they're a juggernaut.
Just a firepower, just out of every orifice.
It's tough
just
to guard destroyed. Those guys.
Yeah, Mobile. It is for sure. But that win against Philly.
Do they have both the Wagner brothers?
They have both Wagners. Yeah,
they got double Wagners.
And one of them might be okay. The other one's Mo.
He said might be.
He might be okay. I don't know. I can't tell if Franz Wagner is good or if he's just like the white Wes Johnson. I don't know. But he might be good.
He might be a player. We don't know.
White Wes Johnson.
Yeah, like hopefully that. He's empowered. Speaking
Man,
of,
you've been throwing so much shade at Wes Johnson lately. Jeez.
What? I love Wes Johnson. One of the nicest dudes. I don't know why I'm shitting on him so much. Seriously, one of the nicest people I've ever met. Take three. The player empowerment insurance policy. According to a report, many league observers believe that Utah Jazz owner Ryan Smith brought Miami Heat legend Dwayne Wade into the organization as an attempt to appease Jazz superstar Donovan Mitchell. Wade is a mentor of Mitchell. Quote, one source with knowledge of the situation maintained Mitchell had no involvement in Wade purchasing a stake in the team, wrote Jake Fisher of Bleacher Report. In any case, it's a move many league observers have viewed as a direct attempt by Smith to appease Mitchell, who first formed a strong connection with Wade through their representation at CAA. End quote. Wade purchased an ownership stake in the Jazz in April, surprising everybody by not staying in that Heat culture. He has spent a lot of time around the organization since, a lot of golfing in Utah since. Mitchell, the greatest player in Jazz history, according to Stephen A. Smith, at least. Jade, play the tape.
Let me be very clear. Where's your camera? Is that right there?
Yes, sir.
Donovan Mitchell is a superstar.
Donovan Mitchell is D-Wade 2.0.
We'll be in Utah for a while. But in these uncertain player empowerment times, you never know. The Jazz and other teams in the league may have stumbled onto something. Adding additional resources to placate your star player, it's not a bad idea, David Griffin. Zion, if he ever gets back on the court. Marcus, what do you think of this strategy? And also, not just placating Donovan Mitchell, they drafted his son, Zaire Wade, with the number one pick of the G League draft, or their number one pick of the G League draft. What kind of placating is happening in Utah?
Incredible placating. Top of the line placating.
Salt Placate City.
You know what I'm saying? And when you're in Salt Lake City, this is what you got to do. This is just the version, their version of Miami Beach, right? This is their version of Hollywood and or Silicon Valley in the Bay. You need some kind of extra enticements. Otherwise, dudes are bolting up out of there. So yeah, this is genius. This is what you got. This is next level thinking.
Yes.
And look,
yes,
on top of that, they get points for having black ownership, right? They get one of the coolest people in America just to post up at their games. There's no way nobody's coming to their games anymore. Now you got Gabrielle Union at your games.
Yeah.
So like, come on. Like, to me, this is smart. This is what you should be doing when you are staying in Utah.
Now, hold on real quick, Jay King. I have breaking news here on my phone. And you can either address the Dwayne Wade situation with the Utah Jazz, or you can respond to the possibility that the Miami Heat have given Bam Adebayo maybe the worst nickname I've ever heard, as they've called him Captain Bamerica as a banner is going up.
Is that
at
real?
Halftime. Yeah, a halftime
Captain
ceremony for
America
because of his gold medal for Team USA this past summer in Tokyo. Captain Bamerica's banner is going up. That has got to be one of the worst things I've ever seen.
That's horrible. I'm appalled right now. I've never been more close to puke in my entire life while recording a podcast. Captain Bamerica? Who came up with that?
Someone bad at this. That's who came. I don't know who, but I know
the worst
that
part
not
is
it's
someone bad who felt like they did a great thing. They were like, I got it. That's it. Captain Bamerica. And in their mind, they were like, we won. This is it. And that's not a pretty sad place.
That's not why Heat culture was invented, so we could have Captain Bamerica. That is not why Jimmy Butler went to South Beach. That's not why Udonis Haslam has stuck around. That's not why Alonzo Mourning has been there in the organization for decades. That's not why Tim Hardaway Sr. went there. That's not why Vashawn Leonard was one of the toughest matchups Michael Jordan ever admitted to. That's not why Dan Marley's broke back in deep range was there. That's not why Ronnie Cicely went from center to DJ in South Beach. That's not why any of this happened. Not so we could call Bam Adebayo Captain Bamerica.
Eric Spoelstra needs to find whoever came up with that nickname, and he needs to have him running wind sprints with Dion Waiters at 5 a.m.
Why is Dion Waiters catching strays here?
Because he's a Heat culture. He is the pinnacle of Heat culture. He is the pinnacle of Heat culture.
Is he still around? He's still running laps?
Dion Waiters was so fat when he got to Miami, and then they worked like 30 pounds off him. And I'm telling you, this Captain Bam America, whoever created that, you gotta be on the Dion Waiters wind sprint.
No, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad.
I just want to know why Dwayne Wade agreed to this. I get why the Jazz did it, right? Like, appease Donovan Mitchell. Have Dwayne Wade around. Dwayne Wade's son could have gotten drafted. He's pretty good.
His son's not bad. Yeah, his son's actually pretty good. Like, but still, like, I don't know.
I just don't get what's in it for Dwayne. Like, you get to spend time in Salt Lake City? Sweet, man.
I mean, are they handing
out... Go back to Miami.
Are they handing out ownership stakes to Costco or something?
He might have been ashamed by Bam America, honestly.
Maybe he might maybe have he gone
running as far away as he could from Bam
America. He knew it was coming. He just decided, you know what, what's the furthest culture from Miami? I'll go to Salt Lake City. That's it.
That's the only explanation. Yeah. I just don't or get why he wants to be hanging around Jazz games all the time.
It's just probably that hard. Like, people aren't just letting you in like that.
So it's weird, though, that like Miami wasn't
watching Rudy Gobert and Hassan Whiteside every night. Like, there are better things to do in your life.
Yeah, man. What's going through his head, by the way, when he's watching, like, Rudy?
He's like, I can't escape Hassan Whiteside? Or was he the reason Hassan Whiteside got to Utah? What happened there?
That Hassan Whiteside fake fight was fantastic. Oh, it was so fantastic.
Please don't do this, Utah. Don't pretend you like Hassan Whiteside just because he's in a Jazz jersey now. You don't need to do this. He's not good. He's not going to help the team. He's not going to be a positive influence.
Man, he got Jermichael Green ejected. That was brilliant. Like, brilliant strategy right there.
No, he got himself ejected. That was the biggest
gift. That's also brilliant strategy for
bonus,
the Jazz. That's
bonus. Yeah,
that's good all around, actually. Okay, you know what? Maybe he is a genius. Maybe I'm the one in the wrong
here.
He's
figured it out.
Speaking of Jermichael, what about take four? MVP talk. Jamaican me crazy or Ja making me crazy. Forget about MVP talk. Let's just discuss Ja Morant's incredible hot start for the Memphis Grizzlies. He has been liquid fire, lava, whatever, you know, that thing in T2 where they dump down the T1000. It's metal, but it's kind of fire metal or something. It's so hot that it's liquid metal. That's how hot Ja Morant has been. Jade, you'll clean that up in post. Just pretend I said it right. And that, I don't know, put in some Terminator sounds or some shit. That'll look cool. All right, quick recap. Ja opened the season at home against the Cavs. 37 points, 58% from the field, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. Then, in a game I attended as a fan for the first time in really years, went for 28-8 in a 121-114 win against the Clippers. Then a tough loss to the Lakers, 40 points, 10 assists, 61% from the field, 71% from three, 9 of 11 from the free throw line, and one big moment where everyone can just be like, you know what, Ja gets it, as he said, my bad, my fault, y'all. Jade, play the tape.
Number 2, Zion Williamson has missed 73 games in his career. Ja Morant has missed 24. The best ability is availability.
Lob. Oh, baby! Oh, my goodness!
Jay King, what's going on with Ja Morant?
This is the continued development that I think a lot of people expected out of him, right? Like, he came in his rookie year, was amazing right off the bat, was doing it in, like, play-in games for the playoffs, games that had big stakes, and helping a team jump from trash to pretty good. So I expected this out of Ja. He can get by anyone. He's kind of so slithers, good. And he's so competitive, too. And he's a badass. Like, and so I expected this out of him. I think he's clearly on his way to becoming one of the very best players in the NBA, one of the very best point guards in the NBA. And so whatever he does, it's not going to surprise me, because from day one in the NBA, he's kind of proven it.
Yeah, and that Grizzlies team is just so far ahead of schedule. And I think he's a big reason for that, of embracing everything Taylor Jenkins is coaching and putting that into use on the floor. T-Nasty, how are you going to water down this Ja Morant parade? Marcus?
Oh, hey, all right.
Jay, just cut that to where it sounds like he's responding directly to T-Nasty.
T-Nasty, how are you going to water down this Ja Morant parade?
All right, I'm actually worried about this for Ja. Because...
What?
Yeah.
Because he's playing so well?
He's so incredible, he's going to do this by himself. And that's not actually sustainable. I want Ja to win big. Look at the shot numbers. Jaren Jackson is pretty good. Like, he needs to be more involved, right? Like, they have other pieces and part of it. And I know, Desmond Bane, like, he's shooting nearly as many threes as Desmond Bane. And it's like, Ja is so incredible that he's gonna, and like you said, he's so competitive that he's like, get on my back. But we've seen that kind of wear down a dude, right? And we, like, this is Ja for playoffs. But I don't want to see that for 82 games. It worries me about him doing this for you. Now, I get it. Hey, do it. Get off to a good start. And then at some point, Taylor's got to be like, all right, look, because everything is up. Shots are way up. Threes are way up. Minutes are up. So it's like, all right, Ja's incredible. The dude is going to be MVP. But, like, I mean, part of it is because I watched this Steph Curry do this last year, right? Where it's like one guy that's like, you got to carry. That's a hard thing to do. It's why Russell Westbrook is in L.A. Because LeBron's like, listen, I just need one other person who can do this for 5 minutes, right? So I'm looking at this thinking like, okay, Ja, do your thing. Cut up. Like, get an MVP conversation. This can't be 82 games. like, let's preserve a future star and prepare him for 7-game series and going for deep runs because he's doing a lot right now. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, he's so good. Like, he's so good. He's not even really that good yet, right? He's not even, like, developed. Yeah. Like he's just cooking on sheer, like, athleticism and will at this point,
yeah,
right?
It's just
like,
all wrong.
It's crazy how good. When he learns how to, like, play, he's going to be so good, yo.
Did you see our friend over at The Ringer, Wozni Lambre, noted style and NBA expert, just shitting on the Grizzlies, saying, like, oh, the Hawks are the team with the real future. I don't know why we're so high on the Grizzlies. Like, Woz has waged war on Memphis.
Well, what's his beef with Memphis? He don't like the barbecue? Or?
I don't know. I don't know. He must be going to Atlanta soon. I don't know what. Like, he must be doing a trip and hoping to get into, you know, a restaurant and not have to pay for a meal or something like that. But yeah, he's waged war on Memphis. And I don't know how you couldn't be so excited for this Memphis team.
And what's impressive to me is, like, so much has changed in Memphis. Like, they got rid of Jonas Valanciunas, who was one of their best players, brought in Steven Adams, who hadn't been good in a couple years. Kyle Anderson's coming off the bench now to make way for Jaren Jackson. Dylan Brooks hasn't played yet. And Ja's just like, don't worry, guys, hop on my back. Like, well, I'm going to figure this out. And he kind of drags guys along. They've got De'Anthony Melton starting now, who's good, I think. But, like, so much has changed there over the last couple of years, and Ja just keeps getting better and dragging them along their developmental curve.
They're going to have to get somebody,
yeah, but Marcus
right?
is right.
They're
going to have to get somebody else. He can't, like, that's not sustainable.
Jaren Jackson, baby.
Yeah, I mean, if he starts making shots inside the arc, that would be huge. Like, that would... That would help them.
It's unbelievable how, like, he's like how proficient he is from outside the arc with the way that shot looks and how it just like disappears.
He's shooting 25% on two pointers. 25.
It's just 42%
for three. Yeah, that's hard to do.
It's wild,
it's actually
right?
really hard
it's,
to do.
It's like, yo, yeah. and you would look at the shot and think, yo, this dude, he can shoot it, right?
Right. No, you think like, ooh, maybe he should be around the basket. Absolutely. But no, it's good. Yeah, it's a good shot. It's an ugly shot, but it's got
it's
a good
so
result.
Funny. And it's like, yo, he's shooting 42% from three and 25%
on twos.
It's
25%.
So
it's wild. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we're overreacting. Take five. Other way too early reactions. Fellas, we're 4 games in the season as of this recording for most teams in this league. There are some interesting things developing as we discuss. Bulls 4-0. Warriors are back. Sit atop the West at 4-0 as well. 3 of those wins came on the road. Lakers and Nets 2-2. LaMelo's Hornets 3-1. But it's so early, right? As J.E. Skeets mentioned on No Dunks this week, a stat that came up on Saturday, Slam and Jam with Andrew Schlecht and Alex Spears. Since 99-2000, only one team that made it to the finals, 44 teams total, had a below 500 record after 10 games. Jade, play the tape.
I bring it up because I wanted to share this stat that I heard on the Athletic NBA show over the weekend from Andrew Schlecht, who of course filled in for JD last year for No Dunks There producing, and Alex, his co-host. This is just cool because it shows maybe the importance of starting strong.
I want to take a look, Al, at great starts for championship hopeful teams. And I'm thinking to myself, like, I don't think we should overreact. But what does history tell us about teams that go to the finals and how they start their season?
Like a season? Like the Bulls, I guess, going 4-0. Since the 99-2000 season, only one team that made it to the finals, so 44 teams total, had below a 500 record after 10 games.
So I went back all the way to the 99-2000 season and got the record for each team that went to the finals for the first 10 games. That's 44 total teams. How many of these teams, Alex, do you think were below 500 after 10 games?
Just one started slow, if you want to call it that, after 10 games. Any guesses? I don't know if you guys heard the podcast. Any guesses as to which team that was?
Out of 44, I would guess.
Was it the Heat in 2011? Or
no, but you're on the right path.
Mavericks?
Six.
Wait, 05-06 Heat?
No, the 17-18 Cavaliers. Yes, LeBron's Cavs there in 17-18. And that was Wade was on that team.
Six.
The answer is one. It was one team. Yes. Pretty much everybody gets off to a start of about 7-3 is the average. The amount of wins that these teams have, teams that go to the finals in the first 10 games, is 7.4 wins. The only team that was below 500 was the 17-18 Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yes. LeBron's Cavs there in 17-18. That was Wade was on that team at the start of the season. They were completely different by the end of the year. But I just thought that was fascinating. They crunched the numbers. On average, all these teams that get to the finals, again, since 99-2000, their record's like 7-3. So they're like good teams, like basically from the jump.
So with that in mind, it seems as though there is something about coming out of the gate strong. So, Jay, which team or teams are you nervous about?
I'm nervous about the Lakers. I've been nervous about the Lakers, though. Like, before this season started, I did not think Russell Westbrook was going to fit there. I thought they should have gone after Buddy Hield. I was worried for them over the pieces in their supporting cast, whose average age is like 47, 48. Carmelo Anthony is playing a lot, and he's like a fossil, man. He can still score, though. Salute to him. But I just don't see how that works. And seeing it in action has just made my suspicions even thicker. I just don't know how Russell Westbrook and LeBron James are going to help each other win basketball games.
Your suspicions are thick with two C's now, not just
thick. Thick suspicions.
Marcus.
He said my suspicions are thicker than a Snicker.
Marcus, who are you nervous about?
Well, I'm definitely nervous about Denver now after watching Jokic. Like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that at all. I don't like where it was. I don't like the knee to the knee. I don't like, he's 7 foot, right? Like, yeah. The wheels with big men are very nervous. And clearly, like, they're nothing without him. But, so that makes me nervous.
Ooh, remember when Michael Porter Jr. was good and they gave him $170 million? Where's that Michael about Porter that. Jr.?
About that.
Yeah.
Jay's right about the Lakers, so I'll stay off them. I'm worried about Philly. I think a lot of people are just saying Philly's they'll be good. They'll figure it out. They'll end up at the top. Like, yeah, I don't
they
know.
Looked miserable and against the Knicks.
They did not want to play that basketball game.
We just like, man, I think sometimes we can understate dysfunction and its impact on talent. Like, if this season just spiral out of control because Maury's like, listen, we could do this all day. And Ben is like, you know, I can show out all day.
Marcus, we could do this for 4 years.
Yeah, I'm like, this thing, like, I'm worried about Philly. As good as Embiid is, they still have enough to say, all right, if we come together, we play right, be a defensive juggernaut, you could still, like, be in the mix. But why would they want to do that? Do they want to do that? Do they want to get rallied? It don't feel like they want to. And this thing might just derail.
Here's the thing. Not only are they extremely dysfunctional right now, having to answer questions about a dude who not even really on their team. He's their second best player. And so they're missing their second best player and having to deal with the
weight. With no replacement.
With no replacement whatsoever.
Right.
No other piece, not a role player, not a star, nobody. And it's got to piss off Joel Embiid. He's like, my prime isn't going to last forever, and I'm sitting here with the second best player on my team sitting out and having heart-to-heart talks with us, telling us he's not mentally ready to play. And it's wild over there. I agree that's it's bad over there. They got to trade him. They have to.
This is too negative, and I don't want to talk about him in trades anymore. It's too negative. Let's finish this on a positive note. Jay, what team are you excited about?
I'm not going to go with a team. I'm going to go with a player. And a player I shitted on his organization for drafting him over Jalen Suggs. Scotty Barnes. Barnes has impressed the heck out of me.
Oh, he's one of the few guys that can make shots in Toronto.
My brother said he's like an in-shape Boris Diaw, which I kind of appreciate. He's got that game where it's not like he's going to be a superstar scorer, I don't think. But he does everything. He's 20 years old. He's huge. He's strong. He's athletic. He can move his feet. He's got great feel. Like, I was so wrong about Scotty Barnes. I need to apologize to Masai. Mm-hmm. I need to apologize to everybody because it took four games.
How dare you doubt
it took
Masai
four
Ujiri.
Games.
Who do you think
four
you
games
are?
For me to realize I was drastically wrong about Scotty Barnes.
Marcus, team or player that you're excited about?
Man, I'm excited about Philly. I mean, I'm excited about...
What?
What, the Flyers? No, is hockey season? Are they good? I don't know. I don't follow right, hockey.
He's like, I don't know.
Big Jalen Hurts
it sounded good, though, right? It sounded good. Yeah. You were like, oh. He just dropped the Flyers hella randomly. That's hilarious. I'm so excited. And this is like... This is not earth shattering like a lot of people are. The Charlotte Hornets. I mean, though their games are low key electric as hell, right? I can't stop watching them. Like, that team is so fun. They're zipping the ball around. It's a highlight machine. Like, I just want to watch that team. It's crazy how good they are. They're so young. LaMelo out here with the highlighter suit to match his car.
Miles Bridges is destroying.
Yo.
Miles Bridges is destroying right now.
It's unbelievable. He's got way better than I thought.
He got banged on. He's got banged on. It didn't even matter. Right?
Yeah. He got banged on and then turned it into a positive in my eyes. He came out and tweeted like, yeah, in overtime, if the game's close, I'm jumping every time. And I'm like, yep.
Absolutely.
That's the guy I want on my team right there. That's the guy I want. The guy who will go up and contest and then say, you know what? Sure. It doesn't matter that I got banged
on. Prefer that he blocks it. But yes, I'm
going to try every single time.
Yeah.
Give me a guy like that.
Yeah, I'm all over Charlotte, dude. I am all over Charlotte. And talk about individuals, like to follow up on Jay, like, yo, Anthony Edwards similarly is impressing me.
Although we got to worry a little bit because it was a very Wolves loss at home to a bad New Orleans team without their best player.
They're not going to win, but man, that dude is electrifying. Yo. Hey, I've never seen in my life a player tell the other coach, you need a timeout. I'm hot. Like,
yeah, I'm hot.
That was the most gangster.
That is. Oh,
he gave the whole signal and everything. Like, he was going with this on the court.
I didn't turn to the other bitch.
I thought he was looking for a tech at first. I was like,
Yeah. Absolutely. Live, it looked like he was saying, that's a technical foul. He's like, I need a timeout. He taunted the coach to take a timeout. Yeah. Like, y'all can't guard me right now.
He also has to be the best interview in the NBA. Because every single night, right? That dude says something electric.
Yeah.
The best part about it is that John Krasinski covers him, right? Yep. So you know you get one of the best writers in the country like covering this like juggernaut of a personality. Like, this is incredible. So I'm high on, to borrow a player theme, I'm definitely high on Anthony Edwards. He's just going to be fun.
He might be my favorite player in basketball right now. Like, he really might be.
Oh,
like,
he's in the Zach Carpenter.
He is a gunner. He scores in flurries. Like, he is a shit talker. He is everything I want a player
and
to
missing
be.
Missing mistakes, turnovers, missing, don't stop.
Doesn't
nothing.
Matter.
Like, he could miss seven in a row. Yeah, he's still like,
undeterred.
Swaggy.
Undeterred. Just completely like, I have one direction, and that's go. That's the only thing I know right now. And that's just Anthony Edwards right there. And I'm waiting for Jalen Green to pull up to that level because I do believe in Jalen Green, but it's not been a good start.
for a team, I'm in on the Warriors. I was in on the Warriors because they had Steph before. But you can see just having guys who know how to play, just having veterans who actually deserve to be in a rotation has transformed that team. Like last year, they were just...
This is another backhand shot at baseball.
They were just shuffling through dudes who were like borderline NBA players, probably should not have been in the league even. And now they've got like pros in their rotation. Iguodala looks kind of fresh. Like, he hasn't moved like this in a couple years.
That dude is wild, you know? Like, he looked done in Miami sometimes. Sometimes you watch him, be like, oh, okay, this is the end.
Yeah.
He also hadn't played in like a year. Yeah. Like
that is true. He was just chilling.
Can you imagine if Jordan Poole could hit shots, how good this team would be? Weird where that hype went, huh?
That's the crazy
Marcus,
part,
you feel bad about all this Jordan Poole hype that you've been propagating, or are we just...
Are you kidding me?
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, 24% from threes.
Jordan Poole's
shooter.
He's struggling. He's struggling with his shot selection. But do you know what Jordan Poole is doing? He's playing defense.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, he's passing the ball.
The way he's shooting, he better play defense.
Yeah, he is driving to the hole, not just settling for chucking. And look, guess he's averaging 15 points, which is about the same as guess who? Andrew Wiggins, who shoots far more efficiently. So even bad Jordan Poole is as good as Wiggins.
But here's the thing. Andrew Wiggins has 67 points on 55 shots. Jordan Poole has 61 points on 62 shots. You can't have more attempts than points.
Jordan Poole's hit.
No, you can't. But I'm saying, like, the production is going to be the same no matter what.
Yeah, because he's shooting more than
absolutely. He knows how to attack. That's why he's going to be aggressive no matter what. His situation's, other dude might just take 29 footers.
His situation's crazy because he went from not playing at all, like he was in the G League, to now when Steph's off the court, they're running him around like he's Steph. Like, they're running everything. Right.
Well, you know
him.
Why? Because these Golden State Warrior media members started saying he's the next Klay Thompson, and left and right, you know, started just this unfair propaganda. Well, I don't know, T-Nasty. I heard a lot of things.
Nobody ever said that. But no, seriously, the game is on the line. You know, they're coming back against Oklahoma City, which is Oklahoma City, but immediately when crunch time happens,
I've already stopped listening. Crunch time against Wiggins Oklahoma City.
No, pick our Lakers game. Pick one. Wiggins immediately. It's like clutch time happens. He goes to step back 22 footers. It's like a tick.
Yeah, go with what you know.
Every single time. But you got to make them. And whereas Jordan Poole is like, you can run offense with him. Like, you can actually. You can cut them off screens. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can do stuff with them. That's why people like him. You can do stuff with them.
He lets them be dynamic.
What about the play-in game against Ja? Does that qualify?
What? No, that was last year in a pandemic season. This is real basketball now.
Steph had one dude with him, and it was Jordan Poole.
So he didn't have anybody.
That's who it was.
maybe Damian Lee should be getting this hype that Jordan Poole has been getting.
He's swimming in the pool of his own hype.
Well, horrible joke by
drowning in the pool of his own hype.
You're a fish
Zach's
out of water.
Just
right
looking
now.
At me like I'm just
I
like
just get the fuck right out of my now. Lane.
He's Jordan
out of my
Poole
lane.
Is Captain Pan America.
That's it for this week's Point of Contention. Don't forget to subscribe to all the shows on the Athletic Podcast Network. Despite how you heard this podcast end, we do actually have a lot of good content. Warriors plus minus, anything is potable, down to dunk, no dunks, glue guys, Sixers beat, Forum Club, game notes, and of course, be sure to check out the Daily Ding right now on the Athletic NBA show feed. For Jay King, for T-Nasty, for Jay Hoy, I'm Zach Harper. See you next time right here on Point of Contention.
There's no, I don't know who that is, but Marcus Thompson signs off.
Bing bong.
Double fucking overtime. What the fuck, baby? New York is fucking mad.
Knicks are here, baby. The Knicks are fucking here, baby. First time is gone, baby.
Pretty much everybody gets off to a start of about 7-3. It's the average. The amount of wins that these teams have, teams that go to the finals in the first 10 games, is 7.4 wins. The only team that was below 500 was the 17-18 Cleveland Cavaliers. And let me read you the starting lineup of the Cavs on night one and then on night 82.